Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast.
Rob is calling me.
I did call you.
Why are you calling me, dude?
Well, because we did our bus talks, but we never did anything to set up our bus talks.
Yes, well, for the audience out there, these interviews were three different interviews, and we are going to be doing the first part of the bus talk, which is a brand new thing we just came up with.
It's a new segment, bus talk.
It's a brand new segment called bus talk. And our first guest, we have Mr. Jason Zylstra. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I'm going to have trouble with that one.
Ha.
Jason Zylstra, which is our brand new guitar player, a Chicago native, longtime local scene veteran here, and he came recommended by a friend. And once his name got brought up, Rashid immediately gave him a thumbs up. He has history with Mr. Jason and them playing in their respective bands back in the day, but playing together, doing shows together, and you, Rob, as well, have a little bit of history with Jason, right?
Yeah, he had come in with Villain vs. Villain as part of a radio station giveaway to the studio. They recorded a track here, and that was, wow, years ago. But when the name came up, and he actually had said something, I think through us communicating and getting him the tracks, he was a client. And so it's even more of a closed circle here now. You know, you've got ties with the Chicago base now, again, with almost all members being local and him being a great addition to the band. So, of course, we had to have him on after we had talked about him in a previous episode. So he makes a good first segment for Bus Talk.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a connection as well with Nonpoint and Jason. He actually replaced Zach Broderick, who was a Nonpoint guitar player for about 3 years in the band Royal, which was a local band. And I think some of the dudes in Royal went on to form Villain vs. Villain.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a little bit of a connection there, and he has definitely been an amazing fit. And we're going to get his behind up here on the bus in the front lounge for Bus Talk, segment one, episode 10.
Yes.
Let's do this. Bus Talk, Bus Talk, Bus Talk. Welcome to the Robcast Podcast. And we have Mr. Jason. Will you please pronounce your last name?
Zylstra.
Zylstra. So it's not Zylstra or a Zylstra.
Or Zylstra.
Or Zylstra. Did I say Zylstra?
No.
When I called you up?
Not
did I say
you,
Zylstra?
But not you, but that's one of the many I get.
Okay. It's a hard name. When Adam joined the band, I call him Wolozny.
Yeah.
It's Wolozny or Wolozny or something. But
Wolozny.
Then we just started calling him 808 because we just didn't know what to say.
That's more fitting. Anyway.
Welcome to the podcast, sir. You are, what show is this for you now?
This would be six, I believe. I believe it's six.
Number six?
Yeah.
And how's it been feeling so far?
It's amazing. I can't even express how great it's been.
Okay. So what, tell me, run me down like briefly, like a little history before Nonpoint. What, you were basically in the Chicago scene, correct?
Yeah, in the Chicago scene, kicking it around for at least 15, almost 20 years, different bands, getting close, but never close enough. And, can't thank you guys enough, definitely, for giving me a break.
So you knew Rashid from that time, too?
Yeah, I've known Rashid for 20 years, ever since the Crash Poet days. Our bands played together back then numerous times, went to all the Metro shows. That's when the scene was the scene in Chicago. That's when everybody was out. They were sold out for local shows, people outside every night passing out flyers and CDs. You couldn't get enough demo CDs from the local bands at that time.
Amazing how things have changed.
Yeah, right? Tons.
Because back then in Fort Lauderdale, when me and Elias were down there, we do the same thing. There were flyers. There were people from the main local bands. It was always an event.
Yes.
It was never like, oh, we're just going to go a show. All the people from all the bands came to support.
That's what I was just going to say,
and
too.
And they never got in for free. They paid for the damn ticket, too, to get in because they were supporting everybody.
Absolutely.
So, and then you see, like, when you go to the cars, you see on the windshield wiper, like, 20 different flyers from different shows. And it was a little hard to keep up. And right now, I don't even know there's a scene down there anymore. I have no idea. What's the scene like in Chicago now?
It's all online. It's and nobody goes out and beats feet anymore to pass out flyers or support shows. I know a handful of people that still do that are close to me, and they still get it. But that's where it's at, is doing the groundwork, as far as I'm concerned. But it's not like that anymore.
So who do you think right now is like the big band in Chicago right now locally that's not signed? Do you know of a band?
Actually, I don't. The tribute scene is what seems to be hot with everybody. Everybody's doing tribute bands.
That's crazy, because you were in Freak on a Leash, right? And you played in an Incubus tribute band, too?
Yep.
And it's weird, because, I mean, there's, like, Made in Chicago, there's Blackened, there's Battery. What is it about that makes it, like... It seems like people like enjoy just want to listen to classics.
I agree. That's definitely one part of it. And I guess maybe the bands don't, the regular bands that they tribute don't get into town maybe as much as they used to, or it's just nostalgia and they just enjoy hearing those songs any way that they can in a live format.
Yeah. So like, in your opinion, what do you think it's lacking in the Chicago original music scene?
Honestly, I don't know. Because I know there's plenty of bands out there, but I just don't think they're putting themselves out there enough physically as they do online, with just an online presence.
So there's nobody out there passing out flyers?
No, no.
So did people back in the day do it out there in the cold and everything?
Oh, yeah.
And no, it's weird, because I remember I went to like a Tool show or somewhere in the arena. I mean, I passed out like, I don't know, 3,000, 4,000 flyers. Like, I put it on cars, but easy. I had help. I say, hey, you take the west side, take the east side, you know. But
easy.
But I think them, like in Fort Lauderdale, I don't even know what local band is the band
right
anymore. You know, after we got signed down there, it just kind of like, the scene kind of dissipated a little bit. There was one band making noise called Simple Kill. They were doing some stuff. But then they eventually fizzled out, you know, and actually two of the guys are playing in the 90s. Cover band, you know, it seems like that's where everybody goes. I mean, I would love to play in a cover band, because, you know, you play songs that are fun. But
that was the best part.
But the fact that some people have to resort to that because they never really were able to make it on their own, you know, it's cool, but it's not cool at the same time, you know.
So and they draw more of a crowd. They probably enjoy playing in front of bigger crowds. People don't go out to see original music like they used to anymore from a band they don't know. Yeah. So there's another part of it, that those original bands just don't get the audience anymore. People, if they can't find the music online, they just don't get out of their house.
So do you think like platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram will never compare to doing the groundwork yourself?
That's a tough one. I don't think so, though. I think like people like to be in person. Face-to-face conversations, intimate, I think that's always going to beat that. I mean, I understand you're reaching a broader audience on those platforms for sure, but intimacy, the face-to-face and seeing it in person, hearing it in person.
And also, I mean, you have like things like Hulu and Netflix and, you know, and stuff like that, where people can say, you know, I'm going to stay home, fuck it.
That's it.
Give me a bottle of wine and watch Netflix and chill.
Too much comfort, too many comforts at home.
It's too much available, I think, for... Yep. People to not go out, you know. So,
but you're missing experiences. You're missing very good life experiences. Getting out of your house and enjoying things that you're totally gonna miss just sitting at home, sitting in front of your computer.
So, I mean, now changing a little subject. I mean, you're 40 years old, right now.
I am,
so,
yes.
Did you expect at 40 to be touring with a nationally signed band?
No, I had closed the door on this part of my life after my last original band.
Was that Villain versus Villain?
Villain versus Villain, yeah. Okay. I had my daughter, and she was about a year old, and everybody in the band, it was time to step down, and everyone was doing the family thing. So I was like, well, I'm done with originals. I quit playing music altogether for almost 2 years, and then good friend... Bob B. Lars from No One, he passed away in a tragic boat accident. And that lit a fire under me again and made me say, hey, you know, this life could end at any time, and it's time to start doing what I love again. And that's when I picked up the guitar again, got back into the tribute scenes. I figured I'd want to do it, make sure I'm having fun first. Mm-hmm. And then this opportunity came along a couple years after that, and I just couldn't pass it up.
And speaking of No One, you filled in, like, you played a show, like, it was like a, was that a, like a benefit?
Yes,
show for their basis, right?
Yeah, we did the first benefit for Bob, and then almost 4 years later for their bass player, Mike Flaherty, who tragically passed away from cancer.
That was recent, right?
Yeah, very recent.
Yeah.
So, And that was a lot of, those guys are fantastic. Great human
beings.
Yeah,
I mean, Rashida's close with those dudes too. And, yep. And I attended actually Bob's wake.
Yeah.
Were you there? Did you? Were you
I was. I was there. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
I went to the wake and I saw the Disturbed dudes there too.
Yep.
And, I never really met Bob. I was more close to Billy more than anybody.
Yeah.
But I went, you know, as a sign of respect, you know, because I know everybody. He was
absolutely
a respected guy in the scene.
He was.
But now, you know, I remember Frank FM sent me a snapshot of your Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I said, and as I told him, you know, what we were looking for, I said, you know, we're looking for a high energy guy and, you know, basically somebody with our background. And I saw the picture. I said, well, he definitely looks the part, you know. So did you find that out because of me? That I hit you up, or did you already know what was going on?
No, it was funny though, because I was sitting around when the announcement came out that BC was exiting, and my wife just cracked a joke. She goes, wouldn't it be hilarious if they hit you up to play? And then not 2 days later, I get a Facebook message from you.
Yeah.
And I just about crapped my pants. And and then it went from there, and it was a roller coaster of emotions, but I wouldn't change any of it, and I enjoyed every second of it.
You know what? And on our previous episode, which actually came out today, I talked about how you posted something. I was your friend on Facebook, whatever. So I saw you posting. You know, when an opportunity comes by.
Yeah.
And as we had talked about solos, he said, "I really don't solo," and I'm like, "Well, that kind of like." It's a deal breaker because we kind of needed someone to, you know, that most of the songs we play, you know, have solos in them. And you went in and started taking guitar lessons. And I felt that that was so like, it's like, man, I admired that so much. I was like, holy shit. Like he's either really wants to be a part of this band, or he just wants to get better in case another opportunity comes by, you know, and here you are fucking playing with us,
yeah.
You know? And so how was that experience? Like, what made you do it? Like, was it because I said, hey, well, you know, thank you for anyway. Like that kind of not, I didn't really shoot you down.
Right.
But, and I was bummed out because I felt something with you. You know, I was like, fuck, there's something about this dude. And then when you said you were doing that, I'm like, okay, maybe this will actually work out. What made you go there? Go take those lessons.
25 years self-taught. I played strictly off ear my whole career, my whole life. And soloing just wasn't something I was into. I was always like, for me personally, there's just a lot of solos that if it wasn't in the song, you wouldn't miss it. It's all about the song, the content as a whole. Mm-hmm. So when we talked and then you said, you know, it's kind of a deal breaker that you don't solo. Probably the next day, I believe it was, that was a kick in my ass. I went and signed up for lessons immediately with a good friend who's amazing. And it fired me up right away, and it brought me to a new area, opened up a new door for me that I just never explored before. And it's been great ever since. And I'm still learning on the fly when it comes to that, but it's getting better.
You know, and the funny thing is, and I told Phil Demmel this, you know, like I said, dude, he started playing solos like 2 months ago. He was like, "You're shitting me." And we're talking. I'm talking to a guy who's played solos.
Yeah.
Who does guitar clinics? You know.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, dude." And the weirdest thing is, I mean, you're playing almost. It's like almost 90% note for note.
Yeah.
And where other people that filled in, you know, we always tell them the same thing we told you. Hey, you know, dude, do your thing. It was only Fixes was the only one that I really wanted, because there's certain that whole solo is a hook to me.
Yes.
You know, so. BC, that was my favorite BC solo, and I told him, this is the best solo you've ever done in this band, because you could sing that damn thing, you know?
Yes.
So, and then when we rehearsed that first time at Fort Knox, and I heard you play the solo to Milestones and Chaos, I said, man, this motherfucker almost got it almost down, like 90%. So was that a conscious effort for you to say, you know, I'm going to try to do it, you know, as close to it as I can? Because a lot of guitar players like to just throw in their own thing, you know, so...
Yeah, I am kind of a naturalist when it comes to doing things like that. That's what's in the song. That's what people recognize. Like you said, it's a hook. It's just as much a hook as the lyrical hook, and people will recognize it. So I wanted to keep it as straightforward as I could. I think they're great the way they are.
Well, I appreciate that, man, because I mean, definitely shows the work ethic, and your work ethic has paid off. Because
thank you.
Like the like I said, we were at that practice. This sounds like one giant guitar to me. It doesn't. I can't tell who's playing what because everything was so, like you and Rashid have like connected. And have you ever played with him before? Like
no, but him being here made the transition so much easier for me.
Because you knew him.
Yes. Okay. So much more comfortable. Like I had told you before, when before we had got together, I was a ball of nerves. I mean, I knew the material, but I was still a ball of nerves. But the second we finished that last note of that first song that we played as a whole band, Elias looked over at me, gave me a look, and just slow walked over and gave me one of the most embraceful hugs that I've ever gotten. And it just completely set me at ease.
Well, you know what, too? When you came over to Rob's, and me and Rob can attest to this,
too.
Oh, at
the studio, like, yeah. When you were ridiculously tight already.
Yeah, when you were playing just to the click. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was in control. Like, what the fuck is going on out there? How is this happening?
And the right hand was a blur.
Yeah, there's no drums. Like, right, there's no fucking drums. And you guys are playing exactly. Like, it was amazing. I'd never seen that before. No, I mean, I have been blessed. I've had some amazing guitar players in this band, from Andy to Zach to Dave to BC. We've been very blessed.
To Rashid. You don't forget Rashid.
Have a roof and Phil fill in. You know, we've had a lot of guitar players in this band. Is that side's cursed, man.
Yeah. That was exciting for me too, because you guys have had a plethora of amazing guitar players learning all these songs and learning the different styles from person to person throughout the catalog was super fun for me. I had a blast doing it.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, you gotta think, you know, like Zach, when Zach came in, he's a completely different guitar player from Andy. I mean, it's two different worlds, and I think he did an admirable job to the old material. But he wrote some good stuff with us, and the same with Dave, you know. But I think you have probably come the closest, at least to Andy's style. You and BC have come the closest, like, because BC was a fan from. I mean, we toured with Switched when Andy was in the band, so he was already in love with Nonpoint back then. And but definitely you, and watching you and Rashid at Rob's, like, what the fuck, dude? It's like, how is it that they're both locked in? And Rashid himself had said he had no issue or doubt or nothing. Rashid, you have any doubt?
With Jason?
Yeah.
Hell no, man. I thought this. I was like, man, Jason, that's
Rashid in the house. Rashid
Rashid is in the house right now. Because this is the episode.
This is the episode.
Episode 5 is the episode.
No, it's 10, dude.
Okay, episode 10. This is the episode about Jason Zebra.
Jason Zebra. But anyway, like, I knew he was, like, totally just, like, praising you. And you know, I trust Rashid when it comes to music, so when it comes to stuff like that. So, and
he's got the moves too. He got the moves on stage.
He got that Crip walk, dude.
He's
got
fluid.
That
Crip walk.
He got that Crip walk, man. But he's got them moves. He's got them moves for sure.
Yeah.
But he got soul on that side.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, how is your, like, the first show? How did you feel, like, going out there that first show in Greenville?
A little bit of nerves, not too much, because, like I said, you guys already made me comfortable, and I definitely wanted to get that first show under my belt, because I knew after that it was all downhill, and it'd be great. So afterwards, it felt amazing.
All downhill?
Well, uphill, all downhill. You know, downhill. Yeah, uphill. That's okay. That's what I mean. Yeah, uphill. But, yeah, it was after that first show under my belt, it was great. I knew I loved it here. I knew I loved you guys. The Brotherhood's amazing. The fan love from the 361, them people are absolutely amazing and the most generous fans that I've ever encountered.
And it's funny, that group, I mean, when that group started, Sean Reinert, our good buddy Sean Reinert, who actually does, he's somewhat of our business manager as well, helps a lot with the band and order and, like, online ordering. And
yes,
he takes care of the VIP. He started that group, and as that group started to grow, I saw, like, the most pay-it-forward, kind-hearted people that I've ever met. And, and some of those people, like, I'm going to shout out, like, Matt Stevens, Paul Gonzalez, Mackenzie Gonzalez, Wendy Egan, I'm going to say her name. I can't think of
Nathan Bowden.
Nathan Bowden, Dustin Nottingham. Like, all these people, have been the lifeblood, where they either they talk about the band, defend the band, continue to buy VIP, even though we've met them already 50 times, and the support that we get from that group. There's more in my head. I can't think of all the names, but that, and Sean has been amazing at keeping that. And I knew that once you came in, I said, and I said, I think it was it you that said it.
What?
Somebody said it's like, dude, he has no idea what's going on. Oh, I did. That, yeah. Was, yeah.
I'm like, he's not ready for the love.
He's not ready for that love he's going to get from that 361 people. Because
and the food and the
like
hugs.
Somebody's bringing food today. Yeah. You know, like they bring food. If they know, like I said, the kindness of our fans and that 361 crew is amazing. I could not, like, I go to that page every day and read their stories. Oh, and it's like, man, the people that we have touched on there. And I'm just thankful right now that page is almost at 16,000 members. And I'm just super thankful that. But, I mean, you just have no clue. This is just the beginning for you, man. Yeah. Like, this is the beginning for you. They will embrace you. I mean, they love the sacrifice that we put out. You
know, the welcomes I get from everybody afterwards when we go back to the merch booth after we're done have been beautiful. They've been great.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's and not only do they help the band, they help the families of the band. Like, I've had people give me clothes for my kids and stuff. It's like, God damn, what the heck? I've never, like, for the last, like, 5 years, I mean, it's been like that through our whole career. Like, even our former bassist, Ken, his favorite movie is Nightmare Before Christmas. That was like a Tim Burton movie, whatever. And, dude, the amount of toys that he got from fans from that movie, it was insane. He had an insane collection of just gifts from fans. So, yeah, it's you'll see. I mean, your entire stay with Nonpoint, you're going to have 361 love from all these people. I mean, there'll be a ton of those fucking people here tonight. Yeah. And especially Midwest. There's so many of them in the Midwest. So definitely be ready for that. And as far as the shows, what city are you looking forward to? I mean, I'm sure you're going to say all of them. But
For sure all of them, because I'd like to explore too when we're out. And definitely warmer weather. I'm excited to when we get out to the West.
Yeah.
Get up towards Washington and then down to California and Arizona and Texas.
The House of Blues in San Diego is a beautiful area down there. That downtown San Diego. I'm actually excited going to, I've never been to, we're going to Edmonton, right?
I can't remember.
Yeah, that's on the
road. Calgary. There's two Canadian towns that we have never played. This is our very first time
that's
going.
That's gonna be exciting.
Which I'm excited about. Vancouver's a beautiful city too, and I mean, Spokane, that Knitting Factory, what a beautiful venue! You're gonna love that place.
I've heard about that place plenty of times.
So this is your first time playing at the Machine Shop, right?
Yes.
It's your first time here,
and two nights in a row.
This is the first time here.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
So I made a post today. I'll say, let's you know that it was your first time. Like, you're gonna see the love, man. You're gonna see the love. Why Nonpoint and Rob is a witness.
My God, you're gonna sweat your balls.
Nonpoint Flint Machine Shop is just it's an experience.
Man.
And also when you get to Madison, my God,
really looking forward
Madison,
to that
too. That's another one you'll get to meet. Hopefully, Randy Hawk will be there. He's a WJJO program director.
Yeah.
I think he's he's the head dude there.
He's been there forever.
He's been one of the biggest Nonpoint supporters. So definitely excited for the future. Write some music with you. That's definitely exciting.
Yeah, that is going to be very exciting.
So, I mean, there's a lot next year coming. Are you ready for this ride?
I am ready. There's one thing, though, I'm still not used to quite yet is having a crew surrounding us. That these guys
sets up your shit?
Yeah, these guys have been great. That's amazing. Like,
that's the funny thing when Rashid did the podcast. He said, wait, you're setting up my stuff?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we always find good people.
For sure.
We have some of the best people. Rob has known these guys, too. For a long time, Justin and Dustin, we've had for a long time.
I've always been real tough about my gear, about setting it up and everything, so it was very strange to have somebody else do it. But these guys are total pros, and like Rashid explained to me, he's like, just wait, man, just wait. When you walk up to the stage, they're going to put the guitar on you, and then when you're done, they're going to take it off and wipe it down and put it away for you. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, I remember when we first started touring and I had a guy set up my, I had never had nobody set up my drums. It was a girl in Florida, Jen Shapiro, who unfortunately has passed away. She was my quote-unquote first drum take, but all she did was break it down, you know, and then put it in her car, because I didn't have a car at that time, so she had, like, a Ford Explorer or whatever, and everything fit in there. But when we were out on tour, and I said, well, I mean, you're sitting on my drums? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't... This when we first started touring, the thing is, we got spoiled in the beginning. We started with crew.
Yeah.
We had Pantera's monitor guy as our sound guy and tour manager. We had this awesome dude, Josh Rumler, doing guitars, bass, and drums, and probably... still one of the top five techs I've ever had, like work with Nonpoint. And he set up my drums, he'd shine my stuff, he'd tune it, he'd put it away. I didn't have to do anything. It was that, and I got spoiled early on, but it is pretty cool to that way you only have to worry about is a show.
Yeah.
And you get to this level and that's all you want to worry about, you know. But we did a tour with Fozzy in Europe and we set up our stuff every day.
Yeah.
And then their TM, it's the guy that sends us the fucking
bias. James Dunkley.
Dunkley. Never remember his name.
He's from
James
bias.
Dunkley. Yeah. He said, it amazes to me that a band like you guys, who is used to having so much, can just come over here and do it like it's nothing. I said, well, the show has to go on, man.
Yeah.
We're nothing over here. Yeah. Once we get to the level that we can afford, then we will. But I had a really killer deal because I was sharing the drum set with the first band.
That's
pretty cool. Since I would get there first, I'd set it up. He'd have to break it down and put it away, which breaking down is not my favorite.
No, because you just got done playing.
Down is not my favorite. Absolutely. I enjoy just having the setup.
Yep.
And breaking down sucks when you're tired and all that, but we all did it. We had a sound guy and we had Talina doing merch, but it was cool to have somebody else. Yep. It's cool to have someone else do it for you, but sometimes on one-offs and stuff, we do it ourselves because that way you save money and not to fly people in just for one day. But so what are you expecting the most out of all this?
Longevity. For sure. Okay. I want to be the last guitar player you guys ever have. I have no plans.
I got it.
Oh, you got it.
No plans to go anywhere whatsoever. Looking forward to making some great albums. Absolutely. I can't wait for that process. I'm super excited. I'm just trying to be a sponge through this right now. I want to be there. I want to be a full part of everything you guys do. I want to learn every aspect of the production and recording side of it. All the marketing, all the business. I'm in it for every single part of it.
Well, you got this dude right here behind me. He can teach you all that shit.
I'm in.
And if you get a Pro Tools, that motherfucker will hook you up.
I'm in.
He's hooked up everybody.
It just helps with the writing process.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, sure. Jason, thank you for coming on the show, brother. And let's fucking kill these next two nights.
We got it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
So we just finished talking with Jason prior to you guys going on stage that night of the first of two nights of the Hell Yeah show at Machine Shop. And that was an awesome show for anyone who was there. For those people who weren't there, I did record the shows. So that stuff's going to be available. Stay tuned for more info on how you're going to be able to get those things. Once I get the video and audio transferred in and edited and, did you play on your spare seat at that show?
No, I actually have a seat that I bought from one of the local bands in St. Louis.
Oh, so it wasn't the bar stool?
No, it wasn't the bar stool, but it's still on the bus.
Oh, no, I saw it.
It's on the bus. I had taken it out in London, Ontario to leave it in London, to leave it in Canadian soil.
Oh, and it ended up coming back?
And it ended up back on the bus. And yesterday when we played in Angola, it was there for my practice kit. As a seat for my practice kit. So there is use for it after all.
You know what's funny is I saw it sitting outside the trailer at the shop and I was like, that looks like an Oompa Loompa bar stool. Like if an Oompa Loompa if an Oompa Loompa went to a bar, that would be the bar stool. It just looked so funny. I was like, did he really sit on that and play?
Well, I sound checked with it in St. Louis until one of the locals came in, and then my drum tech Darren brought in the seat and said, tell him I will buy this seat off of him right now. It was the exact same seat that I broke.
Oh, wow.
It was a pork pie. It's the same seat. So, yeah, man, it's the bar stool is going to live on, and we're going to be using it for different situations.
I can't wait.
You know, this is the first chapter, basically, introducing Jason to our fans. The next chapter is going to be writing music with him, which we're very excited. We have a lot of exciting things coming in the new year. So everybody, follow Jason on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. He's got those platforms, and I think it's JAYSIN13 on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then it's just Jason Seelstra on Facebook. He's got a like page. Go check it out. Show him some love. He is, I believe, this has been 8 or 9 shows in already.
Yeah, I talked to him after the show, and he had said how crazy it was to finally get to play the shop with you guys, because that's one of the big, you know, epic shows that people talk about. And I didn't even think about that when we were talking to him, how like crazy it is each time you guys are just playing a place you've played a bunch of times, but it's the first time for him.
Well, in a couple of days, he's about to play Madison.
Yeah. Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, I don't think he's ready for that. You know, just like we spoke, you know, like how the 361 community has completely embraced him. Like he is like a kid at a candy store.
Yeah,
you know, like he's like completely blown away with the support. And you know, and I know that, you know, there'll be people out there. There's always a lot of people out there's gonna miss BC, you know, and BC was an incredible addition to the band. But you know, Jason, I think so far, like what he's shown as a person, you know, and I think just like basically like he is like kind of like Rashid and Adam, you know,
yeah.
Like very low key guy, you know, super cool. There's, like I said, there's something about those Chicago players, man. These Chicago guys here, just like yourself, Chicago players here are just some of the nicest people.
Well, not only does he fit in perfectly as a you know, guitar player in Nonpoint, but he also then fits in perfectly as the after show member of Nonpoint that every one of Nonpoint members have been, like hanging out, signing things, meeting the fans, you know, like being as accessible as possible. And that's something I thought, you know, that could be a deal breaker at the post side of things, you know, like what if he was just an ass, you know, and didn't want to hang out, but he's so cool. And just like, you know, Adam and Rashid and yourself and Elias, everybody's hanging and meeting the people. And that's something that, you know, makes it even better that he's the replacement.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that we've already, you know, we've embraced. It's something that's been part of our daily routine is that connection with our fan base.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
he's already making it. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. And he's like been so blown away just from the first week and a half from playing these shows. He's like, I'm just so blown away by the fans, especially the 361 people.
Yeah.
It's like 361 and it's like an entire different world from the other Nonpoint fan base, you know. It's like, because they bring such an incredible vibe to the shows, and you know, you see all these 361 people taking pictures with each other.
And they take care of everybody. They take care of each other. They take care of the band. The band takes care of them. It's a very, like, nurturing community.
There's going to be a lot of cool things coming in the future, you know, and 361 is going to be very happy to hear some of these things that are they're coming in the future. So for sure. I mean, it was a great talking to Jason. He sounded like a natural behind the mic, and we're definitely excited to have him aboard. And, you know, let's wrap this up.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to the Robcast podcast. Be sure and subscribe to get notified on future episodes. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Robcast Podcast. Feel free to send us comments and suggestions at robcastpodcast@gmail.com.